your eyes this morning, if you turn on your television screens, will be fixated on this horrific story and these horrific images at the Grenfell Tower in Latimer Road in London today. We know that 40 fire engines and around 200 firefighters are tackling a blaze. The cause is yet unknown. We know that more than 50 people have been taken to hospital. The London Fire Brigade have confirmed fatalities, but they cannot give a number at this stage. But the scenes of what a fire can very quickly do, it's quite extraordinary, actually. Tom Woolley is a former professor of architecture at Queen's University. Good morning to you, Tom.
Morning, Tim.
Good morning. Well, as Jim Allister said this morning, I think, first of all, our thoughts have got to be with any of the residents, anybody caught up in this.
Yes, it's absolutely horrific. I'm really quite distressed watching the pictures, because this is a problem that could have been avoided. I mean, quite amazingly, the residents in that particular tower block have actually been running a campaign about their concerns about fire safety in the building. So it's like, you know, this is a problem that should have been addressed much sooner. But my concern, I've recently written a book about building materials and health, and my concern is about the use of plastic foam insulations, because I think they're a very serious fire hazard. Now, the manufacturers will deny this and say that the materials are safe, but I'm absolutely convinced from watching the horrific images that the recent overcladding of this building, and it was apparently refurbished about 2 years ago, the fuel for the fire is coming from the plastic foam insulations, and this is a very, very worrying. They installed I think possibly aluminium cassettes, but it's obviously very difficult at this early stage to get all the information onto the outside of the building. And this has been done on many other tower blocks, and I'm very concerned about the safety of people in other buildings that have been overclad in this way.
What will the structure of that building? What are the must haves in a building these days, Tom? I would presume that fire alarms and fire safety and fire exits and an analysis of any building which is holding residents would be part of the law.
Well, there was a very serious fire in London a few years ago called Lackenall House in Peckham, and there were six people killed there, I think. And
I'm just going to interrupt you, Tom, one second. Stay with me. We'll dip into our colleagues at the BBC News Channel and hear from an eyewitness here.
The people who've lost loved ones, we can only pray for those who have passed away. We can only praise the fire services for their efforts. We can only praise the emergency services for their efforts in trying to make some sort of sense and save as many people as they can. This was really horrific. There's people who were jumping out of the place. There's a man who threw two of his children.
Come on, man.
We saw a lot. We saw a lot, man. We saw a lot with our own eyes. We saw friends, families.
Honestly, it's all right. You don't have to say anymore. I'm so sorry. Wow. Simone. Mahad, who is
one of the
really
eyewitnesses walking off in tears this morning from what he saw in this huge blaze in West London today. We're just listening to the feed here with Victoria Derbyshire, who's at the scene talking to some of the residents. We know at this stage that there have been fatalities. As I said earlier, some 45 fire engines, around 200 firefighters tackling the blaze. Let's hear this next eyewitness.
I was in my living room and I heard a lot of sirens and helicopters over, but I know that my road is actually blocked off, so I was wondering where they were going to. And as a nurse, it's my duty to help, so I came outside and saw a lot of people running. I said, where are you running? They said, there's a fire. So I ran down to the cordon and I said, look, I'm a nurse. Can I come in and help? And they said, sure. So they stationed me beside the leisure centre. And I've seen some things, but today I can't even describe it. There's mothers that have come out and lost their children. There are firefighters that have come out injured, that we don't know if they're going to even come out safe. The police, they were amazing. There was just, at one point, at about 1:30 in the morning, there was about 30 men, I don't know where they appeared from, and they all was trying to rush towards the building, and it was just very unsafe. And I tried to help the police to calm them down, because they were saying the police don't care about us, our family are in there, and it's not true. They did care. They were really trying their best, and I can't describe it. It's absolutely horrendous. As a community, I don't know how we're ever going to really get over this. I'm not interested in the whys and the hows. It's just, how do we move forward now? What do we do as a community to move forward? People have lost their homes. Children have seen things. People were jumping out the window. We just need to rebuild as a community now. So
there are many, many questions. There really are. Simone, thank you for talking to us. We really appreciate it.
Well, BBC's Tom Burridge is at the scene this morning. Tom, I hesitate to say, what can you see? My goodness, this is just a horrendous scene.
Hi, Stephen. Yeah, it's a very, very, very horrific fire. And there's a lot of grief and a lot of shock in the community here. We're right outside Latimer Community Church, which is just back from the apartment building. If I walked 20 metres down the road, I could still see it with the smoke billowing out the top and the flames quite visible. It's really raging still, the fire itself. But here where I am outside this community centre is just a lot of residents. And there's a lot of grief, there's a lot of shock. There's some anger, actually. Some people, you know, already asking those questions, why? And I've spoken to residents who, one guy whose cousin was in the apartment building. He was on the phone to her while she was stuck inside with her two-year-old son. And I think, you know, there are obviously multiple stories like that, so it's a really bleak picture.
Reports this morning of people jumping out the windows.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first I've heard that, if I'm honest, but I have heard and spoken to lots of residents who have seen people. They saw people trapped inside, waving, you know, clearly in a desperate situation. And you only look at the sort of charred remains of this huge apartment block. It's, you know, more than 20 stories high. So, it's a big apartment block. There are sort of three or four others in the area just near it. And it's completely gutted, basically. I mean, the fire, I've also seen videos. I mean, I've met residents who came out. They're in the area and they started filming it during the night. And they've got videos from various moments, and you can just see how quickly the flames spread through this building. Really, really rapidly, the fire took hold and engulfed pretty much the whole building. So there are questions to be answered. A lot of residents saying that they think, obviously this will be subject to an investigation, but they think that the renovation done on this building not long ago, one resident said 2 years ago, I'm not sure the exact time scale, but certainly fairly recently the building was renovated. All the residents I've spoken to say that some type of cover was put on the building, some type of cladding, and some residents are already pointing towards that about why the fire could have spread so quickly. I mean, on a positive note, there are people coming down. I just met one lovely lady, Ita, coming down, walking down towards this community centre just now, and she just came down really because she wants to do something. She wants to like bring people drinks. There's a lady here with trays of drinks in plastic cups just walking around, but you know, clearly people are in a state of shock, and there is a lot of grief here because clearly, you know, I'm not exactly sure about the number, but you know, quite a few people have died.
Tom, thank you very much indeed. Let's dip into the news channel again. Here's another eyewitness.
That really worries us as local residents about the extent to which the borough is actually taking seriously the safety of actually council tenants in the borough.
Yeah, this is a council-owned block, yes. But it's run by a management agency. Let me ask you both what you first heard, what you saw, what you could smell in the early hours of this morning. Linda?
I heard helicopter circling, and I got out and went into my living room. And I live on the corner, and there's another tower block just there. Well, I thought it was a fire. It looked like a fire in the window. So I ran and got my husband. I said, I think that is a light. And he said, no, it's a reflection. I walked out the back, and it was just a red, like this way, it was all red, and it must have been reflecting. And we ran down that way, and all the side was on fire just about 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was people screaming and up at their windows. And it was going to the middle, and there was this people up the top window in the corner. And I was going, shaking, please let someone help him. And I could hear women and all that. And I just see, well, by four, well, there was big blue flames and bangs, and everything was falling, and I was just looking, and the light was on, and then it went to the middle and over, and their light went out, and I just turned, and it went up.
What about yourself, Moira? What did you first hear or see or smell? I mean, that is the one thing that strikes me coming here. We are surrounded by bits of charred remains from the debris that has blown out of the tower, and we can smell that acrid smoke.
At about 1:45, I was woken up by my son, who said to me, Mum, you need to come and look on the balcony, because Grenfell is, there's a block on fire, there's a flat on fire. So I went onto the balcony, and there was actually only a section at 1:45, just a small section that was on fire. And at that point, I said to him, oh, that's awful. That reminds me of the fire that was at Hammersmith. Hopefully the fire brigade is dealing with it. I then actually fell back to sleep, but I was woken up an hour later, went back onto the balcony. By this time, my daughter was in floods of tears and said she'd been called by a number of her friends in the area, saying that they were downstairs at Grenfell, and people were calling for help. And I went back on the balcony, and by then, the flames had really taken over and had spread quite rapidly. So that by 4 o'clock, the whole building was on fire. It was absolutely shocking.
I'm just hearing that the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, is going to give a news conference at 9:45. So in about 20 minutes' time, obviously, we will bring that to you.
Obviously, we'll bring you that news conference live this morning. A major incident has now been declared in London. Councillor Robert Atkinson represents the Kensington and Chelsea area. Councillor, good morning to you. Your thoughts on this horrible, horrible event.
Is absolutely horrendous and unprecedented. We've had fires in tower blocks before, but nothing like this.
And I'm hearing reports, you know, I've just woken up, my goodness, over the last hour and a half or so, and you turn on the radio, you turn on television, and you hear about people jumping out of windows, people, mothers being separated from their their children.
Certainly there have been casualties, and there's a good deal of confusion. People are milling around. They've gone to separate aid centres. The community has opened up their doors, so there are various places people have gone to. The result is families are split up, but there are casualties, and the first priority is to try and reunite people and find out the scale of the losses. And then the next thing we have to do is to take care of and house people. We have 125 families with nowhere to go, so this is the responsibility of the local council. We have to make sure people have somewhere to sleep tonight.
What can you tell us about that tower block? Can you give us a sense of how big it is?
It's 27 stories, five flats on each floor. It has just finished being refurbished in the last year. So I would have thought it would have been the safest tower block in the area. Clearly, looking at the pictures and looking at the way that smoke is still billowing out, something has gone drastically wrong.
And we're hearing reports this morning that local residents were concerned before now.
Yes, and questions have been asked.
Were you aware of this before?
Oh, indeed. I mean, Labour councillors have asked questions of the authority. The authority has given an assurance that all was well and that there wasn't a fire risk problem.
What kind of questions were being asked, Robert?
Well, I mean, it started off as a major refurbishment. So the questions as to how the refurbishment was to be carried out, which is what we focused on. As it went on, there were then questions about safety. So indeed, my co-councillors have asked questions about the safety. We were assured that these questions had been looked at and addressed. But this is not for today. Today is to take care of people. And then very shortly, we then need to ask extremely hard questions as to why those assurances that were given are clearly not worth the assurance not worth the penny it was written on.
Robert, is that building now structurally safe?
I wouldn't know that. You'd have to talk to the police, to the fire authorities. But clearly, the building is totally gutted. Whether it collapses or not, I don't know. I'm not an engineer. But certainly I have seen bits of the building falling off, bits of the cladding. So they've moved people further away from the building. And it will obviously have to be demolished, which means that the Royal Borough has got to rehouse 120 families.
Councillor Atkinson, thank you very much indeed. We are expecting to hear from the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, very shortly. We will bring that to you live this morning. If you are just waking up or on your way to work, there's a London tower block which is on fire. 27-storey tower block. Hundreds of people would have been inside. Reports this morning that some people have been taken to hospital, some 50 people taken to hospital so far. Sorry, it's a 24-storey building, my fault. Tom Woolley, you're still with us, Professor of Architecture, Queen's University in Belfast, a former professor at the university. I was asking a question there as to the structural integrity now of a building like this, which is completely on fire.
Well, I'm hoping that the fire brigade got there fast enough to get enough water on the building that the building is not likely to collapse. The real concern is about the cladding that was on the outside of the building, which made it possible for the fire to spread so quickly. And that is something that is of concern because lots of other blocks have been overclad in a similar way, and there have also been similar fires in other blocks in London and elsewhere. And we need an urgent review of this. You know, bodies like the Housing Executive and local authorities in the UK need to do a review of all the buildings that have been overclad in a similar way and decide what urgent action they're going to take to protect the residents of those buildings.
How will they be making an assessment as to whether that building has any danger of collapsing? What will be happening?
Well, I really don't think the issue is not collapsing. I mean, obviously, they'll go in and they'll carry out inspections. There have been fires before in tower blocks where there hasn't been a collapse. Even Ronan Point was the famous example. So I'm hoping that the concrete structure is strong enough to have withstood the fire and shouldn't collapse. The real issue is to carry out an investigation into what caused the fire and to the dangers and risks to people from this overcladding.
Tom, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.